WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. And today, that was my fault. I just wasn't back in the studio in time. By the time everything ended, I was making my coffee, and then I was standing over by Fun 107 BSing with them and said, oh, I gotta go. So it happens. So hope that your morning is starting off well. Hope that you are ready for what the day brings, as you heard Christina say. Some rain, but I don't mind a little September rain. In fact, I don't mind rain any time of the year, really. Anything but snow. That's my thought. So we do have a lot that we can discuss this morning. One of the things that I want to bring up, and I've reached out to the person. I don't know that she's going to see it because she's a high school student and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, but there was a young woman who posted in a local Facebook group about school pictures and an issue that happened with the school. And hopefully she can call in and discuss it with us a little bit. I just saw it this morning. Gazelle over at Fun 107 was on it last night. I believe they're having her call into their show. So maybe if she's unable to call into here, we can get the audio from them. And then he's going to have an article on it. But basically what happened was, is the seniors decided to wear wigs in their school pictures as a senior prank. And then this, according to her, the school told them that they would have to retake the pictures. They'd have to retake their senior photos. And she shared a couple of them in the group, and it's nothing really out of the ordinary. One is kind of like an 80s mullet. Actually looks exactly like my mom's hair did in the 80s. And then the other one is just a blue long-haired wig. And so they are, these kids are protesting the school, trying to make them retake those photos, because they say, hey, listen, it's just hair. Hair changes all the time. I could have gone and dyed my hair blue, and there's nothing you can do about it. But hair changes throughout the course of the year. It doesn't affect your ability to identify us on our student ID. You can clearly see our faces. So I think this has a tendency to happen sometimes in schools where kids decide to do something and the adults just don't like it. So they make up some sort of BS reason why it can't happen. I remember when I was in high school, and I forget what year it was, but it was pretty early in the my school career. So I want to say maybe my sophomore year or maybe my junior year, maybe. But anyway, there were a group of students who wanted to get together every morning and have a prayer. And because of the way that Wareham High School dropped the kids off, there were two different doors that you could filter into. There was either the I guess what they would call the front door, or one that's on the side over by the gym. And depending on where your bus pulled up, that determined which door you went through. And so they wanted to have a designated spot for everybody to meet together, since they might not all kind of walk by each other and say, hey, let's go over here. So they originally designated a spot inside the building because of weather and, you know, you want to have a spot inside. And the school told them that they couldn't have it inside the school, that they had to move it to the flag. They had to move it to the front of the school. So then they would just do it by the flagpole. And so they didn't call it prayer group. They didn't call it, you know, Christian Student Alliance or anything like that. They called it Meet Me at the Flagpole because it was non-denominational. It was anybody who just wanted to say a prayer. You didn't even have to be religious. But if you just wanted to take part in this in the morning and kind of set your day with a positive intention, you could do that. And everybody was welcome to join them. And the school gave them grief about it because they said, well, you know, you can't have a prayer on school grounds. It's like, well, no, you can't. As the school, you can't lead a prayer. But there's nothing that says that we can't lead one amongst ourselves. And you're not sanctioning us to pray. You're sanctioning us to have a spot where we can gather before the bell, before homeroom starts. The same way you would say to the basketball team, it's okay if you guys want to go meet in the gym before homeroom because you're planning, you know, a pep rally or something, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. But it's no different. And in fact, they went through the process of becoming a formal school club just so that they could get that allowance. They could request being able to gather. But they gave them so much trouble over it. And really, it was just the principal, I believe, doing it, who had been the teacher at a Catholic, the principal at a Catholic school before he came to Wareham. So to me, and I'm somebody who is not religious, and I am somebody who believes that, you know, prayer doesn't belong in school, in the sense that the school shouldn't say, okay, everybody, you know, bow your heads and pray. But the school should never say to a student, you don't have the right to pray if you choose. They can say you can't stand up and lead the classroom in a prayer. But they can say, yes, you can go over to that spot and use that as a quiet, reflective place to have your morning prayer. That there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. But I think it was just a matter of the students wanted something that the adults weren't comfortable with. So therefore, the adults just started making up reasons why the kids couldn't have it. And the kids won out. I believe they went before the school committee and got the okay, and they won out. So it became a formal designated club. They had a picture in the yearbook under all the clubs and activities. And they were able to have their little more. And it was like, you know, just a couple of minutes. It wasn't even like they were ditching homeroom for it or anything. And it happened right by the flagpole where everybody walked by. So, you know, they weren't off doing something somewhere else, using this as a cover. We all saw what they were doing. And some kids would choose to stop and join them, even if they weren't part of the club. But that was a case of adults just not being comfortable with something kids were doing, so they started trying to do everything they could to shut it down. And that's what this sounds like with this wig situation, because what difference does it make? You can see their faces. You'll be able to identify them from the school ID. And the worst part about it is, of all the things that they could have done as a senior prank, this is really innocuous. This is really like one of those things where you're like, okay, that's the kind of senior prank that we as educators can get behind because it doesn't disrupt the school day. It doesn't cause any other problems, doesn't get in the way of education. This isn't everybody. You know, I had a friend who his senior prank was because we were in the AV department. We had keys to every room in the building, just about. And at that time, we had recycling bins in every classroom that would then get dumped into this large recycling, those big push carts, little mini dumpster kind of things. And so there'd be one of those on every floor that would get filled up with everybody's recycling every day and then brought out to the main bin. And for some reason, he targeted our math teacher, who may be listening to the program. Morning, Mr. Rojic, if you are. But he targeted the math teacher for some reason. And he went into his classroom overnight because we had that key. So I think he either went in super early in the morning or he'd gone in, you know, later on at night after the janitors had gone through the building. And he brought that cart into the room and he just dumped all the recyclable paper all over the classroom. I'm talking piles of it. Wasn't just like it was strewn about. It was strewn about for sure, but like ankle deep across the classroom floor. There was a lot of paper and packaging and whatever else was in that dumpster. And he just threw it all over the place. And then he took one of the AV department video cameras and he set it up on the filing cabinet. Yeah, he must have done it early in the morning because, you know, it's only an 8-hour tape. And he set that up and had it recording so that he had the video footage of when the teacher walked into the room and saw that for the first time. That was disruptive. That classroom was unusable for hours as they were cleaning that up. And you can't say to him, well, you've got to go clean that whole room up, because it would just take too long. So they had to have janitorial staff help him to speed up the process. So there was another disruption. And that was just the prank of one person. So yeah, putting on wigs and wearing a wig in your picture is not the worst thing in the world that could happen. But maybe if we can't get her on today, maybe we can get her on tomorrow. And we'll also try to get the school side of it as well. Find out what the school has to say because, you know, maybe there is a bigger reason than what they told the kids. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Later on today, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files. Got some fun stuff in there for you. And we'll talk about a variety of topics. If you missed yesterday's edition of South Coast Now, Mayor Mitchell was on with Chris yesterday. So you can give that a listen. I didn't get a chance to hear it yet. I was in meetings all morning, and then I didn't leave here until late at night, and I had to go run some errands, and then I just went home and fell asleep. I made the mistake of purchasing something. I wouldn't say it's a mistake, but I bought a movie poster from 1960 at Terracon over the weekend. It's an original movie theater poster from the film 13 Ghosts. I love William Castle movies. I love the gimmicks that he would put into these movies. If you're not familiar with the original 13 Ghosts, it had Illusiono was the gimmick for that movie. And what it was the ghosts in the movie would appear on the screen and you had a special viewer whenever the ghost came on the screen. And you could use that viewer. If you look through one lens, you would see the ghosts. If you were too afraid of the ghosts, you'd look through the other lens and you wouldn't see them on the screen. Genius. Because all that ghost viewer was a pair of 3D glasses. And what they did is they put the ghost in, you know, how the old 3D movies, it was red and blue. And so the red and the blue would combine to give it three-dimensional qualities. But if you look through one lens, you only saw the blue. If you look through the other lens, you only saw the red. So what they did is they made the ghost the color of the lens that you wouldn't want to see the ghost at, so that when you look through that lens, nothing was on the screen. There was no ghost. It's genius. Some of the other gimmicks he put in was in the Tingler, they had, was it Immersiono? No, yeah, I think that was it. Well, whatever. It was a buzzer under the seats. And it wasn't every seat, because that would have cost too much money. So they put it on like every fourth or fifth seat. They put these, basically a big joy buzzer. And during the scenes when the Tingler, which is like this little creature, would be crawling into somebody's body, they would fire off those vibrators. And then when it was House on Haunted Hill had Emergio. So there'd be a scene when there'd be a skeleton that would be coming toward the screen, and then all of a sudden it would emerge out of the screen and float through the audience, and it was just a plastic or inflatable skeleton on a string in the middle of the movie theater, being pulled by the projectionist up top. While the character on the screen is, you know, saying, oh, look, there he goes. But probably my favorite is from Mr. Sardonicus, who is kind of a villain who you feel sorry for in the film. And at the end of the movie, you decide his fate. You decide if you want him to live or die or whatever. And so you have to vote, and you would hold up a card, and then William Castle is on the screen pretending to count the cards in the audience. And then he's like, okay, well, this is the ending that wins. Here we go. Even though that's the only ending of the movie. But it was brilliant. And it was those kind of things that made me love William Castle movies. So I bought this poster from 1960 that was hung in the theater. It was an original theater poster for 13 Ghosts. And now I'm trying to find a frame for it. I can't find a 22 by 28 frame anywhere. So now I got to order one. But I hit like 20 stores yesterday. Maybe not 20. I think it was like 4. Anyway, long story, but a fun one, because I got to talk about William Castle. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll have the news. Then 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
A warning for real estate agents in Connecticut. President Trump signing drug advertising legislation, and Poland getting involved with Russian drones.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is touting the safety of Washington, D.C. In a surprise, he hit the streets of D.C. last night and took in some members of his cabinet out to dinner at a local restaurant.
We all work together, and the outcome is really spectacular. We have a capital that's very, very safe right now.
Trump said it's a safe city, and he thanked the National Guard for helping police fight crime. His restaurant trip comes as the president considers deploying the Guard in other cities to address crime. The 24th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America is coming up tomorrow, and people across the country are being asked to mark the day in a special way.
Take a picture of the sky that day and post it to hashtag Remember the Sky.
Beth Hillman, the president of the 9/11 Museum and Memorial, noting that many people remember the beauty of the sky on 9/11 before terrorists who'd commandeered airline jets slammed into the World Trade Center and Pentagon and crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. An art installation at the memorial commemorates the sky
with a different color of blue for every person who was killed by terrorists that day.
Nearly 3,000 tiles for each victim who died on September 11th. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Connecticut real estate agents are warned in the aftermath of an incident that happened in Killingly. A potential buyer looking at houses with a female agent dramatically upped the amount he was willing to spend, which raised suspicion. It turned out he was a registered sex offender with a record of sexual assault charges. While no crime was committed in this case, police are recommending agents show properties in pairs and alert other realtors about any suspicious individuals they may encounter. Poland is scrambling fighter jets after Russia launched strikes on western Ukraine. Its armed forces say Polish and allied aircraft are operating in their airspace and that ground-based air defense and reconnaissance are at the highest state of readiness. Ukraine's Air Force says Russian drones flew into Polish airspace and were threatening cities. President Trump going after prescription drug advertising. He signed a memorandum that closes a loophole allowing companies to point consumers to another source, like a website, for the risks and information relating to side effects. Trump is sending out about 100 letters warning companies about the change. It's not an outright ban on drug advertising, but Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says it will make it a lot harder for companies because it takes pages to list all of the side effects. Kennedy predicts a typical drug commercial would now have to be 4 minutes long to list everything required. Cracker Barrel suspending all remodels at all of its restaurants. The popular restaurant chain made the announcement yesterday. The decision follows the chain's failed rebrand that saw it revert to its original logo after receiving negative feedback. Cracker Barrel said that it's continuing to listen to customers. The company told customers that if their restaurant hasn't been remodeled yet, then they don't need to worry because it won't be. The Supreme Court will hear arguments on whether tariffs implemented by President Trump are legal.
The focus will be on Trump using a law meant for times of emergency to impose the duties without the help of Congress. The High Court agreed to take two different cases that cover most of the tariffs, including one filed by the Trump administration in response to an appeals court ruling late last month that said he had went above his authority. The tariffs will stay in place until the court makes a decision. I'm Brian Shook.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox blanked the A's last night 6-0. Both teams play again this afternoon at 3:35.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast. Brought to you by C Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-50s. A little cool this morning, but it's also a little cloudy, and that's not all. As we move through the morning and the afternoon, we're looking out for some scattered showers here for the South Coast. Nothing too big or wide or long-lasting. It's just a couple drips and drops here and there. So it's not a washout of a day, but if you really hate the rain, have the umbrella on hand. In the afternoon, temperature is going to be cool as well. We end up in the mid-60s and upper 60s as we get down toward the coast. That's where temperatures are a little bit lower, so something to keep in mind. Maybe have a sweatshirt around if you get cold easily. I'm ABC6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
You can be in a bad mood. You can't have a bad morning when you get to hear that song. That's Heart and Soul by the Monkees from their 1988 album, Pool It, which I don't think that many people out there bought it unless you were a Super Monkees fan. But that was, they made a video for that was very much in the spirit of the original TV show. And next year will mark the 60th anniversary of the Monkees. And the 60th anniversary of Star Trek. If you were hearing the America in the Morning segment with, why am I blanking on his name? Kevin Carr. I was going to say, I was going to call him the fat guy, but that's because that's what he refers to himself as, because he used to have that show that we had on WBSM, Fat Guys at the Movies, which we would still be carrying, except he stopped doing the show. If it wasn't for that, we'd still have it. I loved listening to that show. But anyway, yeah, Monkees, Heart and Soul, great song. So one of the things that we have at WBSM.com and the WBSM app for you is the news that the new Chick-fil-A in Dartmouth is going to open on Friday. And people have been excited for this for a while. Now, there are more Chick-fil-A's around than there were just a few years ago. One in Plymouth, one in, Somerset? Is there one in Seekonk or Swansea or something? So there's a few more around. I don't know. I don't go to Chick-fil-A. And before you say, I won't go to Chick-fil-A because of their politics. Well, that's not the only reason I don't go to Chick-fil-A. I just don't care for it. Not that I didn't like it, but I just don't see the big deal. It's not a place. Oh, Fall River has one, too. I don't know why I didn't think about that one over at South Coast Marketplace. But I don't think that it's worth sitting in line at the drive-thru or, waiting five or six people deep to get a chicken sandwich. It's fine. If you like it, you like it. But it's just not something that I really care about. If Chick-fil-A brought in a bunch of sandwiches here and dropped them off the station and said, here, promote this on the radio, I would eat them. But I don't see the big deal. But for people who do like it, it's a pretty exciting day. And I drove by it last night. Looks like everything's ready to go. So you should be able to get it shouldn't be like the Popeyes launch in Wareham that went south pretty quickly. I didn't go to it. But I read about it. People were furious. It was kind of a disaster. I think the staff might not have been totally ready. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Whitehead.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm getting ready to leave for early morning blood draw. I like to get that over with real fast because the line gets long over there.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about that Ukrainian girl that was killed on was that a bus or a train or something?
Train, yeah.
Yeah. We say mental illness, people mentally have problems. That's evil. This is a whole nother thing. To just get up and do that. Did you see that video?
I did, yeah.
I mean, thank God they don't show what he's actually doing, unless there's a video that's out there and I haven't seen
it. I'm sure it is, yeah, but I just saw the edited version from the news.
Do we know how many times? It wasn't just one stab, was it? They stab her over and over? Or, cause I didn't see that.
I don't recall. I could look it up, but I don't recall.
Hmm. A lot of times we use that word, mental illness, and sometimes they're not. Maybe he's not mental. Maybe all his life he just wanted to be an idiot, evil. He's got evil. You have to have it in you to stand up and just do something like that.
I mean, but good and evil aren't real. So it is a mental illness. Like it's not, when I say that, it's not like it's not like it's a germ or a DNA thing that you can point out. So it's not a physical thing. It's a state of mind. So in that case, it would be a mental illness.
Well, then mental illness is also.
It's just we don't have any treatment for it.
Well, you don't want to get into that.
I mean any kind of medication, I'll say.
I do believe that those pills and things that the psychiatrist gives to people with problems like that, it makes them worse, it turns them suicidal, and they get worse and worse. Because no matter what drug, this is what I feel, those people that are in those labs and scientists and coming up with all these drugs. And every day, it's almost a new one, every single day. And it's funny because I laugh at some of the names of them. What other funny names could they think of? But they think of it. But I don't believe that any drug that they can come up with in a lab, that they're going to know exactly how that medication is going to affect somebody. There's no way they're going to ever convince me of that.
Well, of course, but you also don't know when you eat something for the first time how you're going to react to it either.
No, but when I eat that food, am I going to eat it all the time, every morning, pop it in like you pop your pill? We don't do that. We eat other things. We eat. I wouldn't compare it to food. It's far from food.
Well, I mean, think about it like eggs. So if you are allergic to eggs, the first time you eat eggs, you're going to have a reaction to it. But if you're not allergic to eggs, you can eat eggs every single morning, and you might just.
Okay, but how does that go along with what I'm talking about?
I'm just saying there you can never fully eliminate the risk for anything.
Well, you can eliminate a lot of risk if you stay out of the restaurants all the time. A person that's going to go to a restaurant all the time isn't going to feel well after a while. Now, look at all the recalls.
That's your opinion.
There's more. What?
That's just your opinion.
Oh, I thought you said. Yeah, it's true. Exactly true. For a lot of other things, too. Talking about recalling all these foods. And yesterday I found one of the, and these are doctors that I'm looking at that are talking. I'm not just getting some Joe Schmo off the internet.
Right, not just some whack job like RFK Jr., right?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, have you noticed lately, I don't know if you have, but his voice, it sounds a little better sometimes.
Oh, I don't know. I don't listen to him when he speaks.
Yeah, his voice just starts to sound a little bit better.
To me, it's not so much about the way his voice sounds, it's the stuff that he says, so.
I'm getting ready to quit coffee again, and this time it's going to be for good now, because there was a time, like 9-10 years, I didn't have any coffee at all. And then one day, me and my mom, and that's the same old story. You try it and it tastes so good. And then I started again, but I can stop again. And this time I probably will not go back to it anymore because I don't need it. And everything that I've read about it so far, it's bad. There's supposedly there's supposed to be mold in coffee. I have a friend and her husband owns a small coffee bean place down in, I don't know, Dominican. Where's the main place that comes from all the time? Colombia? It's Colombia,
yeah, Dominican. There's some Sumatra. There's all kinds of places now that are famous for coffee.
Well, they better start improving it, because if people, you know, if there's mold in it, how are they going to make money with that? I wouldn't buy it anymore. Right now, I'm down to, let me see, I have a little bit left decaf of Maxwell House. I have Folgers. I just saw the one about Folgers yesterday. It has so much mold in it. But
I hope you don't eat cheese then.
Oh, I cut that down already. I'm not going to buy cheese for the. I was
that's
overdosing.
All mold. So.
Yeah, I was overdosing. Yeah, but your cheese, don't forget, is aged. You don't have to age coffee. Come on, you grind it, you use it. That's it. So.
Yeah, but I also you know I'm not too worried about the mold in coffee. That's not high on my list of things to be concerned about. Just a little extra penicillin for you.
What I've been hearing lately, we're getting back into the ghosts and spirits and stuff. This is the season. Is that what it is now?
Oh yeah, it's spooky season. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when the next call, if I get time to do it, I'm going to tell you something that when I was about 12 years old, what happened with us. And we have a few other things, too, but then that takes time. So to get one call in and get the story out right the way I want to get it out, it'll have to be another call because I'm getting ready to go now. So have a good day. And I looked at different weather reports, and some do not say any rain today, just the cloudiness. So is it rain or not?
She said that there's a chance of rain. So
a chance. Well, that means no, because they're wrong. If they would have said it's not going to rain, then we'll get it.
Christina's usually pretty accurate, so we'll see. I mean, I'm looking at the clouds now. It certainly looks like it could be.
Yeah, well, I like it like this sometimes, don't you?
I love it like this.
Oh, me too. Very good. Have a wonderful day.
You as well.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. All right, welcome back in. Say, if you're getting up right now and heading out on the road, you're looking around, you're seeing a lot of those school buses because school is back in session, and Tremblay Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. driving a school bus or a van. It's a great job for retirees, for stay-at-home parents, or anyone looking to earn great pay while supporting local students. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a CDL, they can train you. They can help you get your CDL as part of the process of getting hired. So join Tremblay Bus Company today and help our kids get back to school. But of course, they need your help to get there. In order to find out more, go to tbcbus.com. TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. And I was in Target last night, and I heard one of the kids telling their mom about how, well, I assume it's their mom, but they were telling the mom about how they had a bus evacuation drill yesterday. And I said, oh, that's, I remember those days. because as a kid that was on the shorter side for a good amount of my life, and, you know, still am, there was a brief period where I was like not amongst the shortest kids in my class, but that didn't last very long. But as that short kid, I was always like, oh, this is the day we got to jump out of the back of the bus. And when you would stand on the back of that school bus, it looked like it was a chasm you were jumping down into. You know, this was like jumping off the side of a building. But in reality, it wasn't really that high at all, but it certainly felt that way. And, you know, you're fine. They wouldn't have you jump out of it if they thought it was dangerous. But I never did understand why they didn't have a different, like, couldn't you just put like a couple of steps back there that fold out? Do we not have that technology? I went into the restroom at Target, and they had a stairs that you could pull down underneath the sink to walk up to use the sink. If we can put that on a sink, you can put it on a school bus. Anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got one more break. I've got to get in before the end of the hour. We'll be back in just a few.